All right, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Green Legion Radio. My name is Quimby. I am your host. I am sitting here with my illustrious panel, who we're going to get to in just a second. We have a ton of shit to get to tonight, so we are going to start blasting. First of all, subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play by searching for Green Legion Radio. That'll put every one of our podcasts uploaded right to your system, right to your phone. Of course, the Green Legion Radio Show is brought to you by our amazing sponsors at Miller Lite. If you are drinking beer and you are anywhere in the country, you are drinking Miller Lite. I am upset, however, very grateful to say goodbye to a longtime sponsor this week, Stateside Vodka. They're still going to do some things with us, but they put a ton of money into expansion. Mm-hmm. And it worked for what they wanted. Okay. They wanted the exposure. They wanted people to taste their vodka. Now, I am in agreement. They've done their bit for King and Country, and we appreciate everything they've done for us. So Stateside will no longer be a sponsor, but we will still speak highly of them whenever we can. And for that, on that note, one more time, everybody, if you're drinking vodka, make sure you are drinking Stateside Vodka, distilled premium vodka right here in historic Fishtown. Also, Bucks County Baseball Company, our good friend J.P. Lutz up in Bucks County. Obviously, the store is huge. The website's even bigger, BucksCountyBaseballCO.com. Our good friend Mike McVeigh at David Dodge Chrysler Jeep. Go in talking sports. Drive out with a new vehicle, baby. All the Cavanaugh's restaurants and our good friends Ken Hutchings and Pat Pavlicek, River Deck, Head House off of South Street, Rittenhouse on Sansom between 18th and 19th, and our good friend Paul working in the basement bar, and of course 39th and Sansom, our good friend Brian, and the University City branch where Diaz and I chewed a lot of dirt. Our good friends at Delilah's, which, are we going there later, boys?
I don't have a problem with it.
I'm always planning on going.
Okay. Well, and the beautiful ladies that will see us tonight at Delilah's. And if you want to know where the radio show will be this evening at about 9:30, well, there's the answer to that question. Also, our good friends in Manayunk, 20-year sponsors, Bourbon Blue, the Bayou, and Cactus. And, of course, their love child, the Manayunk Sport and Social Club, the most social intramural sports leagues in the city. And, of course, do not forget our good friend Ken Davies, and all of the City Fitness Philadelphia locations, Northern Liberties, Graduate Hospital, South Philly Fishtown, Logan Square, and East Market. Thrive, baby, thrive. That is what is in, and that is what you should do, and that is what they provide. And, of course, our good friend Jari Evans at Somo Sophie in South Philadelphia. My illustrious panel to my right, in charge of security, Rex, how are you, sir?
Good, how are you?
Doing well. If you can tell, we're going to try to rush through this.
No worries.
As opposed to spending 10 minutes on introductions and sponsors this time around.
Yes.
To my left, in charge of our social media, he is on Facebook Live right now. If you want to answer or ask any questions to the panel, just go to our Facebook page, The Green Legion, and you'll see us live right there. Ask Pops whatever you would like, and he'll reach out to us. There is a tailgate pass for two given away this evening for whoever Pops deems as the best question or most entertaining person on our Facebook Live page. Mm-hmm. And Hollis, you have something to give away tonight too?
Yes, I'm having a jazz festival at the Hard Rock Cafe.
Okay.
In Atlantic City. It's a nice panel. I'm actually going to post it and let you post it. We're going to give away two tickets to the jazz festival September the 14th.
Okay.
So if you're not going to the Atlanta game to tailgate with Green Legion, you can go down and take your lady down to some sweet jazz.
All right.
You'll see all the promos. They'll be on my site, and I'm going to give you the
awesome
template for it.
Excellent. And in case you didn't know, our fourth and final panelist, number 78 in your program, number one in your hearts, 15-time NFL, a 15-year NFL vet. I'll get through this, I swear to God. 15-year NFL vet with the Carolina Panthers, St. Louis Rams, New Orleans Saints, and 10 years with our hometown Philadelphia Eagles, Mr. Hollis Thomas. How are you, sir?
Good evening. And some of the people that will be at that festival will be Najee and Bones Jones. Jazz Festival. Najee?
I don't know. What's that?
You know who Najee is for jazz? You don't listen to smooth jazz? It's for the ladies.
Oh, okay.
Trust me.
Did you hear that?
It's for the ladies.
He just dropped about as low an octave as he possibly could.
Right to Barry White.
Hollis.
Yes.
little segment for us. Yes. What happened today in history?
I'm going to try not to take yours.
I only brought two to the table because you've been taking so fucking much this time.
Sorry. Last week. It's what I do. I do this at 3 o'clock in the morning to get my mind working most of the time.
Oh, yeah. That's because you're got a rough day watching Maury Povich in the air.
Oh, yes. You are not the father. You think you can get away from me? Today is
June. I think he looks like an alien.
Oh, yes. Today is June the 12th. It's the 163rd day of the year. There's 202 days left. We're going to start back way back when in 1903. When Niagara Falls, Ontario, was incorporated as a city. Now, I mention this because it's one of the places that I want to visit, Niagara Falls. I don't know. Have you ever been to Niagara Falls?
I have.
Is it illustrious? I've only heard about it.
Honestly, all I could think about was falling in the water and dying a painful drowning death.
Well, that's why you look at it from afar.
We were right up on it.
Oh, I'm not into that. Well, this will help you. This will help you out a little bit. In 1923, Harry Houdini. You know what he did? he
disappeared.
No, he escaped from a straitjacket while suspended 40 feet above the concrete in New York City.
Ah.
The great escape artist. We go to 1923, where Cooperstown opened today. Baseball.
Oh, really?
Baseball Hall of Fame opened today in 1939.
Good. Excellent.
And it's one on here that really prominently kind of defines most men.
Okay.
I'm just going to jump right to
it. Do it, baby.
In 1996, three Philadelphia federal judges, they overturned the U.S. indecency ban on the internet. You know what that means?
No. It means we can watch porn?
Exactly.
Excellent.
Yes. Yes. In 1990,
who are those men? I would like to buy them a
drink.
They
will be in infamy. And
former judges, if you're in Philadelphia this evening, please, please, we'd like to take it to Delilah's. All lap dances on us. All lap dances on us tonight.
And then Ronald Reagan, he challenged Mikhail Gorbachev.
Tear down the wall.
Tear down the wall. And I got a couple of birthdays. One's real sentimental to me. Today is Kevin Turner's birthday. He passed away a few years back. That was one of my teammates, one of my good friends.
Right. Excellent dude from what I heard.
Yeah. Yeah. And it reminded me to tell you the story about the other birthday. It's Jason David. He's my former teammate. You want the story now?
Sure.
We played with the Saints. That was the year after we went to the NFC Championship game. We added one person to our defense. It was Jason David.
Oh.
He totally sucked.
Uh-oh.
So the story is, we were just with CP3. Chris Paul was down with the New Orleans Hornets. So we were at the game courtside. Jason David was sitting over there, and he had the nerve. We played the Lakers. He was playing the Lakers. He had the nerve to have a Kobe Lord Marion jersey on.
Oy.
So it seemed like the entire crowd got
just
quiet.
Converged
no,
on
no, 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 just got quiet. And one fan said, "Jason David, you suck."
So you don't stay in touch with him?
No.
Okay.
But see, put it this way, when you suck that bad, on that same very night, there's a club above New Orleans that rotates like the earth. The police are downstairs. I was coming in at the pole. The policeman asked me, "What the fuck is Jason David doing here? Shouldn't he be in his fucking playbook?"
So, that's fantastic.
And today is also Kendra.
Shouldn't he be in his playbook?
Exactly. And today is also Kendra Wilson's birthday.
Who's that?
Kendra Wilson.
Oh.
Yeah. 1985.
Okay.
And there's a couple of quick holidays for you.
Okay.
Today is,
unless it's a Muslim holiday, I'm not celebrating it.
No, it's a jerky. It's jerky day.
Okay,
beef jerky day.
I can get behind that.
Well, wait, wasn't last week National Handjob Day?
Yes, it was.
So this is a great segue. Somebody's telling me something.
Hey, today is also.
Although I already did it today. Thanks.
Rose Day.
Rose Day.
Yeah, Rose Day, and it's also Loving Day. So get you some loving.
Ah. Yeah. What are you doing later, big boy?
You're gonna give me some loving, some tenderness.
You smell really good today.
Thank you.
Put on some slow jazz when you do it.
I have only one to add today.
Okay.
And a twisting plot ensues.
Mm-hmm.
In 1994, Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman were murdered.
Ooh, you always go dark.
The murderer still yet to be apprehended.
Sure. I'm good friends with him. You know, OJ is my buddy, right?
Is he?
Yeah. I always say we chopped it up at the Black Congressional Caucus down in D.C.
So was this too black for you?
No, it wasn't too black for me. It was just kind of funny. Right. It was like, because people know that
not as funny as the murderer still yet to be apprehended.
Yeah, that part was the funny part.
Okay,
yeah, but I'm sorry I took your other one.
It's okay. Yeah. It's, no. That was anytime anybody has a Reagan memory,
yeah,
you know, that's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Still to this day, regardless of whether you're left or right, one of the greatest presidents, and man, that was a tough time to be president.
Yes, it was.
And in the Cold War, yeah, trying to get all the nukes from being pointed at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a rough time. Yeah. Excellent. All right. Well, let's. We're not gonna go right to our teams because you know we do have to talk about the Flyers.
Right.
Oh wait, that's right.
Yeah.
We're finished with the Flyers.
Yes.
Let's get to the more important topics that everybody cares about, as opposed to the Philadelphia Flyers here in our beautiful city. All right, man. We got some around the world.
Yeah.
Stories, and we are going to dip into Megan Rapinoe. I am going to lambaste that bitch, for lacking of a better expression. I know she probably likes to get lambasted. That's her preference. I couldn't say I'm going to drill that bitch because, you know, obviously, unless it's made of silicone, that ain't happening. But we're also going to talk about the Phillies today. We're going to talk about Carson Wentz's contract.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about a stacked backfield for the Philadelphia Eagles
now. I love that.
And then we're gonna have a little bit of debate as to who the best punt returner in Eagles history was.
Ooh.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff that's going on today. Let's get to it. Everybody, Big Poppy, Hollis, you and I talked about this.
Yes.
Whether you love or hate him.
Right.
By the way, I just popped my knee. Did everybody see that?
No, I heard it. Oh, I heard God, it. That had to hurt. That was one of those ones that hurt. That wasn't a joyful pop. Because that's a joyful pop. That means the air's going back in. Your pop was some type of ligament going back into place.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad it's back in place.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether you're a Boston fan, which, let's be honest, those cocksuckers can all die.
Yeah.
That whole city and the never-ending streak of good luck when it comes to championships.
Well, at first Boston was the darling because the curse of the Big Bambino.
Curse of the Big Bambino, of course.
That was it.
But once they broke that curse,
I know.
And they made up for 100 fucking years.
Yes, but
whatever it was. Big Poppy, I'm a fan.
Yeah,
I don't know how you can't be. He embodies everything that is baseball, and whether or not he came from the Dominican Republic or what his ethnic background is, he embodies American sports because baseball is America. And you know, if you don't want to consider him an American because of where he's from, I say fuck you. I think he has done more for America than hundreds and hundreds of thousands of individuals together.
Yeah.
So, apparently the story was somebody was very jealous because Big Poppy was having a big celebration out at a nightclub. Am I saying all this right?
It's close to it. I can give you the synopsis because...
I know you have a take on this, and I want to hear it.
I have a take on it, but I also have a... I've been told... Well, okay. Basically, what was the word on the street is that he was messing with some dope dealers...
drug lord.
Check that. Drug lord. Drug lord's piece.
Oh.
So, see, it was a hit out on him.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. So,
there was jealousy involved.
That was word on the street. And I do know some quote unquote drug lords. And they mainly tell you all you have to do is respect them and they will let you go about your business. And one of the things with respect is because I've had to pull a couple of them off of hurting some young guys who think because they play professional sports that they're the shit.
Mr. Untouchable.
Yeah, man, they're Mr. Yep. Untouchable. And the guys, like, it's kind of the guys like that. It's a lot of stories you hear about with guys getting their NFL athletes in general.
Pop, how many times did you have to pull Hollis in the line?
No. I'm not.
Come on, man. That was an opening for a great story.
Well, no, but it's not. It's,
no,
but
we don't have any,
thing. Yeah, well, because the main thing that these guys are just asking for is respect,
right?
And don't bang their women.
100%.
So it's like
100%.
It's one of those things.
I'm also one of those mindsets though that says, "Hey, she's banging you out."
Yeah.
Who am I to say no?
Yeah, but you do have to err in those situations. You do have to err on the side of safety.
Err on the side of caution.
Yeah, self preservation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's a lot of them out there, and I think if nobody knew about it, I think it probably would have went under the map. But I know a lot of the young guys, they be disrespecting the guys,
right?
The drug lords in their face, like when they're at the club. So a lot of times people don't realize where they are.
Right.
And that's where you have, you have to be cognizant of where you are. Anytime, that's why it was a, one guy told me, he's like, only suckers need bodyguards. That means if you're going out to do something stupid or you're disrespectful, you need a bodyguard because you're going to get your ass whooped.
Like Justin Bieber.
Yeah, Justin Bieber. Yeah, yeah, you know, all those small guys.
Okay, let's move on. Talk about, no, let's talk about one person whose name never needs to come up on this show ever again.
Okay. Yeah, well, you don't even bring it up.
Justin Bieber. That's the last time. Anybody that says Justin Bieber from now on has to put $10 in the pot.
But didn't he challenge Tom Cruise to a wrestling match? You didn't know about that, did you?
I don't know.
Yeah, he did.
All I know is we have an arm wrestling challenge coming up in a couple weeks over the on the Rob V show. That should be interesting.
Oh, God. Who challenged you, Rick?
Her name is Katya.
Oh, God.
And we met her at D's on Sunday after the show, and I think she's going to take him down.
Rob B's soft.
Let's just say she works out and Rob doesn't.
I know.
I know where my money's going.
Too funny.
But continue. Go ahead.
All right. So he's in stable condition now.
That's good. Yeah.
But he was in a rough spot for a little while.
Yeah, they removed part of his intestines and his gallbladder.
Yeah.
So do you think it was like a warning? In a way?
No.
Because
that was a hit.
That was a hit.
Oh, and they didn't complete it.
They got five suspects now. Yeah. They said
they didn't see the fucking dude in the club that did it?
No, yeah, they did.
They beat the hell out of him. But they
whooped him like cornbread batter.
It was
more than just him.
Really?
Because it's kind of like this. That's why when I go out, he'll tell you I like to be aware of my surroundings because they really set him up. They really said
they were cops. It was a report. The initial report said that they were cops.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Well, another reason why you don't go to Latin America anymore, you go to
Aruba.
There you go.
Where did we go?
Aruba.
We were at Costa Rica.
We were in Costa Rica, and we'll never go there again.
We're going to Aruba now.
We're going to Aruba from here on.
Yeah, it's been like five or six deaths from American tourists in Dominican Republic over the last.
They're going to have a tough time recovering.
But yeah, you know what the thing is. Each one of the deaths came when they went into the mini bar and mixed a drink.
Two of the deaths.
The other one they whooped the lady like cornbread batter.
A money grab.
Oh, she was trying to do a money grab?
Her husband did that to her. They were trying to extort money from the resort.
Yeah.
She got the shit beat out of her, though.
By her husband.
By her husband, apparently.
Oh. It was a plot to
it was a plot to money like grab.
$2.5 million.
And the plot thickens.
They're locals, too.
Yikes!
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, moving on. Yeah. I felt very good about myself the other day as I was coming out of the stall at Delilah's, mm-hmm. you know, getting done shaking it. And I saw how fat Pedro Martinez is. I don't know if you've seen him recently.
Yeah, he's a chubby wrestler.
Yeah, now I feel better, man. I'm going to have to tell him the beard secret. You have to make a square. It's the only thing that gives you a jawline when you got chubby cheeks, baby. Come on, Pedro. All right, we're going to have a little bit of fun there before we get to the most annoying topic of this week, and this is my get it off my chest.
Okay.
All right. All right. So, we're going to talk about Megan Rapinoe right now, and I want to preface this properly only because I feel like anything that I say here is going to be scrutinized, and I'm going to get shit for it, and I'm going to tell you right now, of course, I don't give a fuck, but the 1990, okay.
Okay.
Imagine you are a female and you're an athlete, and of course, if you're talking about any major sport whatsoever, you've always taken second fiddle to the men.
Yeah.
All right, I get it.
Yeah.
And even though you might feel like you're the greatest athlete in the world, and even though you may be the greatest athlete in the world.
Possibly, yeah.
Mia Hamm quite possibly been the best soccer player in the fucking world back then. In that World Cup run, but
think of Cheryl Miller,
huh?
Cheryl Miller,
stud. I mean, she still has she still has a crutch with her brother, but yeah. Hey, what are you gonna do?
Well, no, but she scored 100. He scored 50 one time, and she didn't want to tell him that she scored 100. That was funny when we told that story.
So the big story on social media now. All right,
go ahead.
I'm trying to.
Don't preface it. Just say it.
No, I got to preface it because. when the 1999 team won the World Cup in Los Angeles against China.
Right.
All right. Man, that team, they did everything the right way.
Yeah.
They weren't whiny little bitches, mm-hmm. which, you know, again, Rapinoe's not Gen Y. She's a millennial, mm-hmm. so she's even worse than most of her teammates. But, okay, I am not going to stand or put my heart, my hand over my heart or sing the national anthem as a fuck you to Trump. Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm, come on.
Okay,
to me,
Megan Rapinoe. Let's be nice here, okay, for a moment, and tell you first that nobody fucking cares who you are. Nobody gives a shit what you stand for. Okay, play fucking soccer. You're good at it.
Yeah.
All right. Eat pussy. You're good at it. All right. I'm sorry. Whatever. I don't care what your sexual preference is. I don't care what your color is. I don't care what your job status is. As long as you do what you do well.
Yeah.
And you treat people the way people deserve to be treated.
Yeah, with respect.
With respect. Yeah. Now, obviously that's not me, but it's, well, first, if you remember, Rapinoe was the first one to join Colin Kaepernick
right.
as a support when he decided
to kneel.
Yeah. All right. Great, Megan. Thanks. Okay. I'm sure that helped your cause. They also started a lawsuit demanding more pay because the average salary for men's World Cup players, mm-hmm. men's national team, is
right.
$263,000.
Correct.
The most you're going to make as a female women's cup
it's half of that.
Is $99,000.
Oh, it's not even half of that.
Okay. Yeah. So, now, okay, do you have the right to be pissed off about that? Sure.
A little bit.
But just a little.
Yeah.
All right? If you want to do something about it, all right, when you're on your downtime, do what the rest of us do. Get out and fucking hustle. Get your lazy ass up off the fucking couch. Make a phone call. Call Under Armour. Say, hey, Nike, you supported Colin Kaepernick. Why don't you support me? I'm full of shit, too. Get off your fucking ass and get a fucking sponsorship. Because you know what? You know what you do every single time you bitch about how much money you make? You undermine the efforts by every single person that has anything to do with the U.S. Women's World Cup team or national team. Because I guarantee every fucking day there's a team of 30 motherfuckers in a goddamn phone room that are out trying to sell sponsorships all day long. And you know why you don't get paid more than the men or as much as the men? Because not enough people watch you. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that all of us should just change our thinking right now and watch the B version of the sport. That's what you are. As good as you are and as entertaining as you are, you're still not as popular. If this was the Men's World Cup, I would be locked to the TV, gambling on every fucking game. I have not watched a single fucking highlight from the Women's World Cup because it's boring. And because you're the B squad. So if you want to make more money, get off your ass and go sell a sponsorship. Do you know why you're not a spokesperson for any major companies? Because you're a pain in the fucking ass. All you do is bitch all the time. You complain that you're a lesbian and you're not accepted in America. You complain that Trump's a fucking bigot. You support Colin Kaepernick. You saw how that worked. You're a fucking dumbass. You're a complete and total fucking dumbass. And finally, if you don't want to have female stereotypes in sports, then take your ugly half-naked ass out of the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition and make sure the only person that people want to look at naked, Alex Morgan, keeps her fucking ass off the cover. Okay?
Know.
And, by the way, tell her how to speak, you know, like, because I'm like the, you know, like the most... in my sport, like, you know, you know that expression, all you're good for is a dick in your mouth?
Awkward.
When you speak like that, pretty much sums it up. Sorry. Megan Rapinoe, you suck. All right? I would listen to everything you have to say if you weren't such a whiny fucking bitch.
How do you really feel?
It's annoying. It's annoying.
I haven't seen you this amped up in a while.
It's annoying. Now, she's making a political statement, and what she's doing is making every fucking 14-year-old female soccer player hate fucking men.
Yeah.
You know,
I thought the conversation was going to be about the run up the score.
And Hold on.
Okay.
He hasn't gotten there yet.
I haven't gotten there yet. Okay. Because, Big Dog, I'm going to let you and Pops have that one.
Yeah.
So, on the women's soccer team, which, by the way, we can all agree because we've all heard this before, congratulations on thumping fucking Thailand.
Hell yeah.
13-0. And...
Well, there was some lashback about the way things went down and about the last goals that were scored, and I was talking to my esteemed colleague Rex here about he was saying was there going to be any get back. This is my thing, Rex. It's a point based league, first of all, yeah. And it's about how you beat people. And if you don't, my thing is this: if they always tell people to be sportsmen, have some sportsmanship. Sportsmanship is you coming ready to play. It's like we just had an example of Kyrie Irving getting mad because one guy wanted to hit his 50th point. He got pissed off because he tried to shoot the ball at the end of the game. Where was that energy at on the other 48 points?
So exactly.
If I'm kicking your ass, do something to stop me. If you don't want to see a bat flip. Don't throw a pitch up there so I can hit a home run.
Right.
If you don't want the score ran up, because when I get out there, I'm there to kick your ass.
And I did not watch this game, but I heard after about 5-0, Thailand gave up.
Yeah. Well, the thing.
So guess what? If you don't want to get fucking thumped, don't give up.
No, give up. Not only that. It was like they was talking about the girl who scored like the 13th goal.
Yeah,
the 13th goal was the girl. She had never scored a World Cup goal. And she was so excited.
Yeah. I picked up the fucking ball and ran out of the stadium.
And he was. That's it.
Oh my god, that was awful. That was fucking awful.
And we were
8:31. Chad, clip that soundbite.
See, he was privy to the high school team that I played for. We used to kick people's ass. But the thing with us kicking people's ass, one game, we beat this team 99-0. Now, I was sitting down after the first quarter. Once the scores ran up, all those kids who normally don't get a chance to play, if the game is tight, they're in the game. So you want me to tell them not to go out there and do their best?
Yeah.
And you got freshmen. You got freshmen and sophomores. And you trying to?
Well, you got people that are trying to. You know, these players, all right, like the girl, like you said, who I know nothing about, but scored her first World Cup goal.
Exactly.
She's probably fighting to make this team every fucking year moving forward.
Yeah.
And guess what? I'm going out there and I'm playing. That is the scary part about football.
Right.
And why they got rid of and made some of these new special teams rules.
Right.
Because it is the players that are trying to – make a name for themselves, lot of them are only going to make the roster on special teams.
Right.
So I get it, but every play I'm in there, if I'm getting paid, I'm going for it.
That's what I tell us, because somebody we was in a mini camp, and I don't know if Jari told you the story about the rookie that got in front of me, and I just pretty much just destroyed him.
No.
I was like, I changed my – well, initially I told the coach that my pass rush move was head fake, slap, and swim. I turned around, it was a rookie in front of me. I said, check that, bull rush. And I made sure he heard me. And you just
I wasn't ready for that, don't worry.
He said, and I totally destroyed him. And it's like, this is my thing. If you have enough nuts to get up and line up in front of me, I'm going to whoop your ass and let you know that you're not supposed to be in front of me.
Exactly.
It's about competitive edge. We're losing that with the kids, with the no keeping the score.
Yeah, it's kind of pointless.
Yeah, tell them about the soccer stuff that with my nephew.
Yeah, well, they actually keep score with them, but in certain leagues they don't keep score. It's like they don't call any of the penalties, and they don't really learn. It's like, are you serious? I mean, it's almost like a glorified practice.
Now, I mean, this breeds another conversation,
right?
But I don't know. I feel like the world is a fundamentally better place if you have a competitive spirit.
Yeah, you have
exactly.
Because
otherwise, everything that gets done is done vanilla.
Yeah, and it's another thing too, because how are you going rejoice in victory if you don't know the agony of defeat?
Exactly.
If you don't know when you get your ass kicked, because when you get your ass kicked, the next time you play that person, you're coming back with vengeance with another game plan.
Right.
So if you never know that, and then on top of that, you're a professional. This ain't high school, and this is not little league. And this is not college. Especially at college too. At college is almost like a damn job.
It's like getting laid, man.
Yeah.
You're so happy when you finally get laid after getting shot down 25 times before.
Yeah. I think there's a quote by Vince Lombardi where he says, "You don't learn anything
about getting laid." I want to hear this.
You don't learn anything from a loss, but you learn a million things from a win. Or yeah. You don't learn anything from win, but you learn
a million things from a loss. Because everybody's so high, and when you win something, everybody's so high on the victory, and so chemically high off the victory. But when you lose, you're chemically low, and you go back and you seek and sort out every mistake that you made, and you try to correct it.
You know what's funny? Every time I've either lost something big or won something big, I still drink Miller Lite.
Join the club. We've got jackets.
I think it's a good time to take a quick break.
Yes, sir.
On our next segment, we got Chris Sack calling in. We're going to talk some Phillies. We're going to talk some Eagles contract. We're going to talk some U.S. Open at Pebble Beach.
Awesome.
And we're also going to ask Hollis why the pick last week for Golden State to win that game didn't
come
through.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You guys will be back on Green Legion Radio right after this. All right, we're back on Green Legion Radio. Another segment coming up with our official Phillies correspondent, Chris Sack. If you're out there, baby, it is time to call in. We have an interesting item to talk about with Chris tonight. We're gonna push the limits here. We're gonna see what everybody thinks if a situation actually takes place. It's right now the situation taking place with the Phillies is they are extremely vanilla.
Yeah.
Chris Sack, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I hear that today's National Loving Day, and
yeah.
About 4 weeks, Diaz won't be getting any more of that, so no wonder he's so well.
Oh, man.
every week, it's awesome. Chris, it is good to hear from you once again, sir. We are looking forward to another edition of Mr. Sack's official take on just about anything. Well, you and I discussed earlier, well, we're going to get to that, but we're going to talk real quick about vanilla, which that's been pretty much the Phillies for the last couple of weeks here. We're going to talk about how awful it was for Green Legion night at the ballpark when Rex Diaz and I went and we got to see back-to-back-to-back home runs.
Oh, God.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that, Jared.
Home run off the first
I appreciate
pitch.
You going eight innings and not giving up a fucking run your last outing, and then, hey, thanks a lot.
Soft serve.
And anyway, Chris, we're going to get your take on some financial flexibility and why the Phillies may be making moves that they are and why they may be making moves they are not. And then we're going to talk about a tailspin. So however you would like to start, sir, please, by all means, if you have a take on the average play as of late, give it to us, and then let's talk about some of the financing and where we are with the luxury tax and why they may not want to get there, and then a tailspin.
Okay, well, first of all, we'll talk a little bit about the current standings right now, because as you have addressed, the Phillies have hit a little bit of a tailspin recently. They've only been 5-5 in the last 10. The Braves have gone 8-2. And are now tied for first place.
And have won their last five in a row.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yes, they've been red hot. Mm. Plus, the Mets have kept pace with us. They're five back. And the Nationals have even made up a couple games on us, too. They're seven games back.
Hey, so real quick on the Mets, it was just excellent hearing Chase Utley say that he just doesn't like the Mets.
It was fantastic.
I do not.
I do not. I think I've watched it 50 times today. But I look at it like this, and we touched base a little bit on it last week at the end of our segment. The Phillies are getting into a stretch here before the All-Star break where they're going on a National League East tour, might you say. 23 consecutive games. They have one day off after tomorrow. It's a Monday. I believe it's July 1st is their only day off before the All-Star break after tomorrow, when they have the Phillies Festival down at the ballpark. That's 23 games. That's 6 games at home, and that's 17 on the road. And this is a huge stretch for this baseball team coming up. And even when they come back from the All-Star break, they have 3 against Washington and then 4 against the Dodgers. This next month is going to be very telling about where this team is going to go and what they're going to have to do to prepare themselves for if they're going to be able to keep pace with the Braves here and even let the Nationals and Mets back in.
So I got a question for you. You say that they have only one day off, and that's Phillies Day?
So they have the Phillies Festival tomorrow evening. Uh-huh. And then they have a crucial 3-game series in Atlanta this weekend, followed by a 4-game set at Washington. Then after tomorrow's day off, they only have one day off between Friday and the All-Star break, which would be Monday, July 1st.
Yeah. Well, this is how you doing, Chris?
What's up, Al?
Chilling. I don't know if you heard. Yeah, I don't know if you heard when Angelo actually got into it with Gabe Kapler in some prominent questions about the team in general. He was. Do you think he's still trying to be everybody's friend? Gabe Kapler.
Well, I think.
Before you ask that, do you know that he took the kid Hammer personally around to each player and introduced him?
I think that's a little too much.
I'm just saying, you can answer the question now. I think he's trying a little bit too hard to be liked instead of being just a manager.
First of all, I think the interview mm-hmm. was very well done. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the back and forth on that. But Gabe is taking over now. Like, you got to think about things have changed a whole lot in the grand scheme of things when it comes to being a manager over the last 10 years. And it's not just in professional sports. I'm a manager at my job. Compared to how things were conducted and things were done 10 years ago, things were a lot different. And you can see how things have changed from when the Eagles had Chip Kelly to where they have Doug Peterson. They went from a guy who didn't talk to anybody to a guy that's now loving on them and giving them ice cream after meeting.
I don't know if that's totally Doug Peterson, though. I mean, I think he cracks the whip when
I think that's the difference with Gabe. I think
Kapler is afraid to crack the whip.
Yeah,
he got that. He's in. Yes. Fucking safe. Told you. Sorry.
Go ahead. You're watching the game, too. Go ahead, Chris.
I don't know what Kapler does behind closed doors. I know what we see in the public. And I've been very vocal over the last year plus since he's been manager about captain positivity. It sickens me. It ticks me off because I want some more raw emotion. Mm-hmm. The other night, Jim Salisbury asked him about his starting pitching and if he was worried about that. And he's like, it was telling in his answer. You know, Jim, I don't really know, like, what are you looking for here? Are you looking on a scale of 1 to 10? Like, dude, right there, you're telling me you're panicking about the status of your starting pitching. Gabe, to me, and me and Quimby, we kind of touched base on this a little earlier during our phone call, and, you know, probably during the course of this segment here. Gabe, to me, I think this next 23 games is going to be very telling for what he's going to be and if they're going to keep him around.
Yeah.
That's the tailspin, baby. That's the tailspin. What, do you want to get to the financial elements first before we get into that? Because two names came back up in our conversation. But let's talk about the luxury tax right now. Talk about why the Phillies might not want to be getting involved in that right now.
Well, a lot of people are disappointed about Keuchel and Kimbrel, and mm-hmm. I'm not as disappointed about Kimbrel, although I thought Kimbrel was more of a need than Keuchel was at the time. But when I see the deal that he got, 3 years, $43 million for a guy that was pretty much choking down the stretch, that deal kind of scares me. Let the Cubs spend that money.
Right.
Keuchel was a deal for 1 year, $13 million, but apparently from what reports said, the Phillies were never really in on Keuchel, which kind of disturbs me because they don't have a deep farm system. The deeper part of the farm systems are in the lower class A ball. They're not in double A. They're not in triple A. It's these guys are 3-4 years away. And, you know, I always want to have a proven commodity instead of what if. I mean, look at all those deals the Phillies made, the Cliff Lee deal, the Roy Halladay deal, the Roy Oswalt deal. The only guy that made something out of himself was Carlos Carrasco, you know, in the Cliff Lee deal.
Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. There's a name, so, huh?
Absolutely. So you look at all those players, and everyone's like, oh, man, Michael Taylor and Kyle Drabek. And, you know, like all these guys that they got rid of in all those deals, Jonathan Singleton, they never became anything. So what does it matter in the grand scheme of things if you feel like you have a shot to win this year? And I think the Dodgers have peaked early. They're peaking at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. They're going to come back down to earth. They have to make a strike. They have to make a move. And Bumgarner has that experience pitching against the Dodgers. And that last week with him and Max Muncy, I'll tell you what. To see him in a Phillies uniform against the Dodgers going, oh, man, that'd be awesome to see in October.
I agree. All right, Tailspin, Chris, because we've got about 2 minutes left that we can afford here on Phillies Talk with you this evening. All right, so if it happens, Kapler gets fired, who are we looking to, and who would you rather see in the dugout? Larry Boa or Charlie Manuel?
Well, it seems like we all want the crack the whip guy, right? And
so to speak.
So that would be Boa. Mm-hmm. But especially if it's a team that needs a little kick in the ass.
Yeah.
And Boa, out of the two, has been more frequently involved in the dugout than
this,
Charlie
has. This first base umpire sucks, by the way. Yeah. He missed the Real Muto call, and he missed the Kingery call. Great. Good work, dude. Good work. Anyway, so
Larry Boa.
Larry Boa. Is that what you think?
So Larry Boa also was the bench coach for Pete McCannon there for a couple years.
Right.
So he has been.
Pete McCannon was the best. I can't believe they got rid of him.
But I think it's just a funny hypothetical to think about.
Mm-hmm.
If they do go into a tailspin here over the next 23 games, Kapler only signed a 3-year contract.
Right.
So if the Phillies did fire him midseason, they would only have to own
a year
next season.
Yeah.
Yes. And you're not going to just give the reins over if you feel like you have a shot to win this year or get yourself back in the race. And Kapler chokes it away over the next month. You're not going to just give it to Rob Thompson, who's the bench coach now and was the bench coach for Girardi for a decade with the Yankees. You're going to want to give it to a guy that has had experience as a manager.
Yep.
And you're not going to give it to Dusty Wasson, that third base coach, at least I wouldn't think. You're going to give it to a guy with some experience, a guy like, you know, what the Marlins did about, you know, 16 years ago when they gave it to Jack McCann. They brought him from the you know, front office, and they gave him the reins, and they went on to win a World Series. Sometimes you need to make the change and put an older guy in there that has the experience. And I just think it's funny to think about. Who would you choose, Chuck or Bo? It's just a funny hypothetical that I've been thinking about for like the last few weeks. It'd be great to see.
Yeah,
Chris. Once again, sir, we appreciate your time here and your insight on everything Phillies. Because, in all fairness, all of us combined don't have the knowledge you have. Hollis is a little upset about that statement. He just got a little angry.
Not really. I didn't really hear you. It went in one ear, not the other.
And in addition to that, we also always appreciate you busting Diaz's balls, regardless of whether he's here or not, when you first come in every segment.
I always try and incorporate something with Diaz when I first come in, because it's just one of my leads, and I always like getting a laugh out of you guys. But also, just keep in mind too, we still have some spots remaining for the Pittsburgh trip coming up in a little over 5 weeks.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, cool.
Appreciate that.
So the trip is coming up. Hollis, are you going to be on the trip?
I don't know.
Do you want to go?
What? Yeah, I'd look at
Pittsburgh, July 19th through 21st.
I look at the schedule and see if I can make it.
I didn't know who else was going to be going out of you guys, but. I look forward to seeing whoever else is going to be there on the trip. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have a great time. We're going to treat it like Chicago in 2008, Quinn.
Yeah, it was a good time, man. Go to trips.greenlegion.com for that. You're going to see it's the first link that you can click on. Brother Chris, we appreciate you, sir. We're going to talk some Eagles. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, you got it. Have a good evening.
All right, you too, miss. Oh, my God. Can you imagine if Boa winds up being a manager again? Even interim Boa. these kids will not know what the fuck to do with themselves. They will not.
They've been coddled up to this point.
Yeah, he's fucking old school, right?
Yeah. All right, everybody. Carson Wentz. Let's get to our men in green. The details of the contract extension... basically, here's how it breaks down. There's a signing bonus of $16.4
million. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Base salary roster bonuses, 2019, $720,000. That's still from his rookie contract.
Right.
Nothing's going to change there, as well as 2020. $1.383 million base and an $8 million roster bonus.
Mm-hmm.
2021, $3.9 million and a $10 million roster bonus.
Okay.
So that, you know, roster bonuses don't mean shit to the cap.
They'll mean nothing. They'll mean nothing to the cap, and it's not guaranteed money.
Yeah.
You know what a roster bonus is? See, they often like to think that roster bonuses is guaranteed money. No, that's if you're on the roster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
no.
If they cut you, you don't get that.
Now, this is interesting. In 2022, his salary finally jumps to $18.5 million with a $1,000 roster bonus. $1,000. Hey, man, here you go. Here you go. Yep. Maybe you can go get a new TV for the kitchen. 2023, $18 million plus $5 million roster. 2024, $21 million and a $5 million roster bonus. Again, team option for 2020 is $30 million. What is this? I don't understand that. Team option for 2020, $30
million? Yeah.
What is that?
If they decide they want to...
If you get hurt or something like that, it's probably protecting them.
Protecting
the
them
team.
At the time. Yeah,
got
the
it.
Team,
okay. So if he blows out a knee again this year.
Yeah.
All right, that's what that is.
Yeah.
All right.
It's protection.
And incentives and escalators are $16 million. So it comes to be, the richest contract for a quarterback yet?
Correct.
And... I know you guys will probably expect me to hold strong to what I said before when it came to Nick Foles, because I'd rather have Nick here than Carson.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I do.
Yeah.
However, if this is the route that they feel that they should go, I'm good with it.
Well, I didn't have a problem with it, mainly because you're gonna save some money. Just think if he's healthy throughout the entire season, becomes league MVP, and then leads him to a deep playoff run.
Yep.
And you just think Patrick Mahomes' contract is coming up. If you wait on that, you probably save about 30 or 40 million in general.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
If one of those years is uncapped or something coming up.
Yeah, 1 year's coming up is uncapped.
And what everybody always seems to fail to realize is that the salary cap's going to continue to go up.
Yeah. Right.
It goes up every year by what? 8 million, 9 million.
I think it's going to pop up to 14.
And for those who think that you send a kid into it's not like the old days. When somebody puts their body on the line, they're going to be rewarded for it. He puts his body on the line. I would rather let him know that we want him as our franchise quarterback.
100%
to have one less thing he has to worry about than to send him out there as a lame duck. Thinking he has to prove something, and trying too hard to do more than he needs to do.
Well, so, and let's be honest with what happened 2 years ago.
Right.
Right. We're not in the Super Bowl without him.
We're not in the Super Bowl without him.
We don't win the Super Bowl without him.
Yeah.
He didn't win the Super Bowl, but we were 13 and fucking. Well, what were we?
No. Well, it was 13-3.
We were 13-3, and we lost two
games at the end.
Two games at the end. So we lost one game with him.
Yeah.
That entire stretch.
Yeah.
Look, man, anybody that doesn't think the Super Bowl is an easier route if it goes through your house, it just doesn't know anything about football.
And not only that, the way I like this year, because he's not pressing. He's fully healthy. He's going through the OTAs with the players now. He's getting some continuity. He's not off to the side throwing passes to the fucking trainers.
Right.
He's actually in there, and it's about it. And the other part of this, too, the other equation is the fact that they're talking to Malcolm Jenkins about his contract. because I told you he was going to show up to this. He's a businessman. It's about business. So as long as they show the respect, because in the past they weren't even fucking talking to you,
right?
They was
you're talking about Joe Banner?
Yeah, Joe Banner. They would treat you like shit.
Yeah.
So you would always hear the horror stories.
And that is an excellent evolvement of just Howie Roseman, because he was a Joe Banner
disciple. Yeah,
disciple.
He was under Joe Banner when he was like 20 or 21. Mm-hmm. Would you go back in every organization that I've been a part of, when they treat the players well, that those organizations were winning. It's like, but if you treat the players like shit, it's like, I got to St. Louis, the Rams, they were finding them for shit that I never even heard of.
Really?
And you know what? When they were in St. Louis, they totally sucked ass. I just hate the haters who are saying that they paid the kid too early. It's like you don't send somebody.
There's nothing early about him, exactly. Man. Early. Come on, he's established. You don't win that many games,
if they paid him too early, it was probably a discount for them because
you got to get on the mic, Pops. Get your ass on the mic, man.
Shut the fuck up.
There we go. Yeah. Now he's speaking up.
Loud enough.
Yeah, you got to get your ass on the mic.
So,
Chad him saying, scoot your ass up.
Yeah, so they, if anything, they kept him home. And it's pretty much a discount because, like, in a couple of years, it's going to be astronomical what these quarterbacks are going to do.
Especially like Patrick Mahomes and the kid in Texas.
Jared Goff.
Yeah, Jared Goff. So you can say they did the right thing.
How much they paid Cousins?
I know, DeMarco, and he sucked.
So you just
Kirk Cousins sucked.
He didn't see that. Let's roll through this. Saw that and he goes, "Hey, let's stay on this." Thanks for the Rexeruption.
I know.
There's an X Rexeruption,
and it's gone.
Kirk Cousins sucks. That's all you had to know.
9:01 on the show this evening. We got a couple more topics. Eagles, we're going to take one more quick break after that, a one-song break. Then we're going to come back and make some fucking money.
Yes.
But we do want to talk about a stacked backfield. Mm. And then we got a small little internal debate, which I think should be kind of fun.
Oh.
But here we go. I'm going to talk about seven players right now.
Okay.
Jordan Howard.
Beast.
Miles Sanders.
Beast.
Corey Clement.
Nice beast.
Josh Adams.
He's on the cusp. He's
Wendell
on
Smallwood.
Fringes. He's on the fringes.
Boston Scott.
Who?
Ooh, that's the next. The Boston Scott is the next Darrence Rose.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He's a beast. He's fast as fuck. We stole him off of the Saints practice roster.
Boston Scott. Remember that name.
Yeah, remember that name. He's a little beast.
People started calling me Boston George. I really enjoyed that. And, of course, the odd man out, and still have no idea why Howie took this motherfucker in the fourth round from San Diego State University, one Donnell Pumphrey.
Is he fucking even in camp?
He's there, man.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah.
That was a horrible pick.
Horrible pick.
That was god awful.
Everybody said he's going to be the next Darren Sproles. Mm-mm. Sorry.
Nope.
The next Darren Sproles will be the reincarnation of Darren Sproles.
Yeah.
But
Boston Scott is a close second, though.
Boston Scott?
Yeah, because you know they were trying to Sean Payton was trying to hide him.
Was he?
Yeah, they offered him some extra money too.
Did they?
Yeah, because you could offer your practice players you could offer them roster money.
Okay, so with these names that we just talked about, mm-hmm. and what we know about most of them, you know, we got a full dose of Jordan Howard in the doink doink game.
Yeah,
obviously, Penn State, Miles Sanders.
Yep.
You know, yeah. I can't watch any Penn State games because I'm sorry, I hate you.
yeah.
We all know about Corey Clement. We all know about Josh Adams. Yeah. We all know about Wendell Smallwood, who I have to say did have a pretty goddamn good game against New Orleans in that playoff.
Yes, he did.
Playoff
he did game. Show up.
Boston Scott and Donnell Pumphrey on opening day.
Mm-hmm.
Pops, who's our starting running back? Because that
Jordan
is
Howard.
Jordan Howard, without question.
Without question?
He's a beast.
Without
question, yeah. There's only two running backs.
I thought he was still a situational back.
No, there's only two running backs that got more yards than him. Guess who they are? Ty Gurley and Ezekiel Elliott.
Really?
Yeah. He's a motherfucker.
Do I always have to see those eyes when you do that?
That's before free agency.
Kiss my entire ass.
Look, gotta free, love Vera.
Before the free agency,
the girls are always coming up short. You in charge of the girls, right?
But before free agency started, I wanted that kid.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Good.
He's a beast.
Good. All right. Well, so let's assume. All right. He's starting back.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We all agree on that, then.
Yeah.
All right. Which I didn't know. I mean, he's obviously at the top.
He's a beast.
Who is right behind him? Do we think that Miles Sanders brings something to the table right away? Running backs usually can. If there's one position that a player can bring to the table in their rookie campaign, it's always going to be running back. Is everybody sold on Miles Sanders?
Not yet.
I'm not either.
This is the thing. Corey Clement will probably be the second one because of experience, and he can play special teams.
Yeah.
And then I think the eye two out of Josh Adams and Smallwood. One, mainly because Smallwood is not always available. He's often hurt, even though he's explosive when he's on the field. Josh Adams puts the ball on the ground too much in quality situations. So,
how much time does Boston Scott need?
He doesn't need any time, really. Trust me, if we release him, somebody will pick him up fast.
Really?
He's a beast. Trust me. Because it was like I laughed because I talked to Sean Payton. He was talking about the kid, and Sean Payton had a bunch of packages in for him too. So
really,
when Sean Payton sets some stuff up, well, you know you're the man.
Sean Payton is gay, by the way.
Really,
Megan Rapinoe. Just so you know, there's another one in sports. You're okay.
Really.
All right. On that note, odd still to see that Darren Sproles is still a free agent. Nobody's.
I thought he was retiring.
Well, he said he would come out of retirement for the right situation.
For the right situation. So I think he might say retire because
the man owes nothing. And I know it sucks that he wasn't part of that team, but he was part of that team.
Right. Yeah.
You can't deny the experience and leadership abilities that can come from somebody that played in the NFL for so long.
Right.
And what he might have meant to Corey Clement.
Well, yeah. When you look at the entire Super Bowl year, a lot of the older guys were hurt. But when they were hurt, they were around the team way more than I've ever seen in any organization, and they were around coaching the guys. I'm talking about really, truly coaching the guys. So it was a total team effort, dude.
Yeah. Well, that's what you need. That's what you need. And now that brings us to a very interesting and quick debate because we're going to take a quick break right after this.
Okay.
But I've got four names, and I don't want you to look at them because I know you did already. But who, speaking of Darren Sproles, was the best punt returner in Philadelphia Eagles history? I have four names for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I've got Vi Sikahima.
Yeah.
I've got Brian Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Darren Sproles.
Yeah.
And Reno Bryant.
You've missed Brian Westbrook.
Yeah, I always thought that was dumb of Andy Reid to put him back there.
I was waiting for somebody to pick that up. I was trying to do Reno Mahi instead of Brian Westbrook just to
Reno Mahi had the gas scandal in
he stole gas.
Yeah, he was on tape too. He was on tape too. That's the jacked up part.
So, in all fairness, with Brian Westbrook on that, I think B. West has to be the longest and most consistent, right?
No. Mitchell. No, I would give it to Vi.
Really?
I would give it to Vi.
That was all he did.
Brian Mitchell?
Brian Mitchell was here for three years. He wasn't here long enough.
Vi was here a lot longer.
I'll never forget when he just fucking started jacking the Giants.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, would you put DeShaun Jackson in there, DJ in there?
Yeah.
But DJ,
he didn't do it all the time, though, and they wouldn't. You see, it's like you got to put.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's like you put the most prolific people back there.
Well, as these guys just said, you know, he was not there all the time. But
right, when you need to play
the greatest punt return of all time
was
obviously D-Jack.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No.
Against the Giants?
You didn't see the Westbrook one, did you?
So you weren't there for the Westbrook
against the Giants?
Yes.
No, I know.
Did you see the Westbrook one?
That was the game.
That was the game.
You got to realize that was T.O.'s first year here.
I was in Cancun watching it in a bar. I was at Champs.
You know,
100%. I know what you're talking. But after coming back down,
they were down
by 21 points
in the fourth quarter.
In the fourth, 7 minutes and 52 seconds left.
Yeah,
in the fourth quarter. But you still have to realize, though, the game was what, 9? It was like 9-3 or 9 to.
Oh, yeah, and they won 10-9. It was 9-3. Right.
But the loser of that game wasn't going to make the playoff because they were both like 4 or 5. This is before T.O. got there. But the Eagles, after that, they went on an 8 or 9 game win streak.
And the key to that whole thing, the funniest part, was the picture of Brian Westbrook running by the special teams coach and the special teams coach with a face like this. If you go back and look at it, that was like one of the best times.
Are we talking about best punt returns of all time based on the importance of the game or best punt return period? Because I know what you're talking about. I mean, that Westbrook game meant a whole hell of a lot more. But that D-Jack return after fumbling it.
That was sweet.
Picking it up, stopping.
Dusted it off.
Literally a split second stop going, I'm surveying, and then pew, gone. And then running down the fucking goal line to make sure the clock runs out before he goes back.
I see.
You know what? We're going to debate that more next week. That's a good starting topic for us. All right, shit. I really wasn't set up for this because I was getting really, really excited. We're going to be right back after this 1 minute song. I never miss with the 7-Iron, baby. Never miss with the 7-Iron. We are in our money-making segment.
Boom.
And our final segment on Green Legion Radio today. We appreciate you guys hanging with us as long as you have. We know we're a bit over our time. And I probably said that we were going to have a 1 minute song and then played a 6 minute Elton John song and a 3 minute clip from Tin Cup. Because I couldn't find the other clip that I wanted, which was, well, maybe you can impress her by qualifying for the Open. Huh. Yeah, anybody can qualify for the Open. You just have to, a couple regionals, and you get there. The most bureaucratic tournament, which is why, and I'm going to get to this before Hollis ends the segment this week with his picks, because Hollis is 10-6 right now since we started this. The Hollis handicap, much more impressive than my picks on fantasy golf last week, which amounted to precisely dick.
Oh.
Yeah. Not good. I am now down 200 on the season, which I guess is still formidable, but not where I want to be nor where I have been. Everybody, we got the U.S. Open coming up at Pebble Beach. Mm. Ooh, boy, there's all kinds of things to take into account. Weather for the morning tee times, taking into account the weather for the afternoon tee times, keeping in mind that the afternoon it tends to swirl a little bit more out there off the water than it does in the morning when it's generally pretty calm. You can look at tee times and determine that. One great resource that I have found for anybody that's into fantasy golf, fantasygolfinsiders.com. They're not going to tell you what to pick or who to pick, but they're going to give you every bit of information that you can use in order to pick the right players. If you see that you have a couple people that you want on your list right now that have morning tee times on Thursday and Friday, not a bad pick over the ones in the afternoon because once that wind starts kicking up, coming off the ocean, it's an entirely different course. That being said, I have precious few stars on my list this week, and I will tell you the two top-tier players that I would hands down keep on my team if you can, keeping in mind that you're going to have to pick up lower price players to compensate. Remember, again, DraftKings, which is the official Green Legion Radio fantasy golf site, $50,000, that's an average of $8,333 per player, does become a bit of a challenge. And again, we have to and always will look at Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson actually is behind Brooks Koepka, who did win the Open last year, if we remember.
Right.
DJ is at 11,300. I take DJ anytime you can, if you can find that complimentary player below $7,000. Keeping in mind, the U.S. Open, all these major tournaments, especially the U.S. Open, you're going to pick up a Matt Kuchar for $8,500. All right. Now, Cooch might get you where you need to be. He might not, but he usually qualifies. You're going to see these top-tier players that might be $95, $9,800 in every other tournament. They're going to be in that $8,000 range. Mm-hmm. So where I would say you want a player like DJ on your team, you can certainly put a hell of a team together between Jason Day, Francesco Molinari, Tommy Fleetwood, Hideki Matsuyama, Xander Schauffele, Adam Scott, Matt Kuchar, Tony Finau, Paul Casey, Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau, Gary Woodland, Luis Oosthuizen, you fuck, Patrick Reed, Mark Leishman, Sergio Garcia, Webb Simpson, Kevin Na, all within that $7,700 to $9,300 range, which you don't normally have. Besides Dustin Johnson, the player that just stands out in this year, this tournament, only at $10,000, which is a steal, is Patrick Cantlay. He has been...
Patrick Cantlay?
I know. I do love the name.
Wonderful name.
Yeah. At $10,000, I don't know, man. I find that a steal. A steal. You got to pick up a player in the $7,000 range to get you back on par.
Right.
No pun. But... Cantley's just having a season right now. You can't deny it. Jason Day, the last five U.S. Opens, fourth place, second place, fifth place, 11th place, 11th place, fourth place. You can't deny that. And at $9,100, you're only $800 over your average. I know Jason's not had the season that he is accustomed to having, but... it's the U.S. Open. Everybody giddy's up.
Yeah.
Giddy's up. Matt Kuchar. You can't deny Kuch at $8,500. I have Matt Kuchar on every single one of my teams. Paul Casey. Paul Casey's an interesting individual. Second place, eighth place, the last two U.S. Opens. I would not take Paul Casey out of my lineup if I have the ability to as well. Phil Mickelson. I would not take Phil Mickelson out of my lineup at $8,200, less than your average on DraftKings.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Gary Woodland is playing very excellent golf right now. At $8,000, I think he's a steal. Patrick Reed is an X factor. At $7,900 behind players like Gary Woodland, somebody's probably telling you there's something wrong there. And the biggest thing wrong with Patrick Reed is that he's a chubby bastard and his wife's super fucking hot. But aside the fact that I'm not banging her. He's a coin flip. I wouldn't keep him on as a mainstay in your roster, but certainly somebody to consider. Brant Snedeker. Not had the most fantastic season, but he does have a couple U.S. Opens under his belt at $7,500 with the experience at the table. Kind of feel like he will at least make the cut and has a chance to do something. Rafael Cabrera Bello. I love this motherfucker. At $7,300, he's $1,000 below. 22nd and 26th place, the last two Opens, which means he's five strokes under the lead. That's not very far away. Brandon Grace is still a good pick. Siwoo Kim, fourth place at the U.S. Open last year. Not a bad pick. Jimmy Walker. Jimmy Walker missed the last U.S. Open cut. But then, eighth place, 55th, 11th, 21st, 1st, 3rd, 9th, 9th. Brings a lot of experience to the table. Is very, very effective on cuts this year. Not a bad pick. Lucas Glover at 7,000. Jimmy Walker at 7,000. Two great picks. Chez Reavie.
Yes.
At $6,900 and a guy who's come in second place in the Open before, not a bad pick.
Not bad at all.
I can give you a few other names. I'm not going to go into anything. Aaron Baddeley, Kyle Stanley, Roberto Castro. I know every time you bring that name up, it's just a fucking coin flip, but he has been in this tournament a lot. Brian Stewart, Chesson Hadley, okay. Nick Taylor, not a bad pick. I will give you the one steal of this entire U.S. Open. Barely has any experience whatsoever, but he's a stud coming out. Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
Scottie Scheffler at $6,700 right now. I'm not going to lie. If this kid can hold his mental game together, not only will he make the cut, but he'll be on the leaderboard. At the end of the weekend, he will be in the running for this tournament. And at $6,700, it's a fucking steal. That is who you couple with Dustin Johnson with. There you go.
Sweet.
Mr. 10-6, Hollis Handicap.
Yeah.
What do we got this week, brother?
Well, this week, as you know, the last game is playing for the Stanley Cup Finals. The Blues are up 2-0. Well, this week I'm going to go with the Golden State game. I think that they wanted to go 7, and I think the way that Toronto's people reacted when Kevin Durant got hurt, which was Bush League and classless, is going to fuel the fire for a little bit before Game 7. And you know, I would take the points. It's 2.5 against Golden State by 2.5. I would take the points, but I didn't take Golden State just because I think they take
Golden State minus the points.
Yeah, minus the points. Yeah. And then I'll kind of pick the over because they're going to be at home. And
211 is an interesting over under now, isn't it? Has that line moved?
No, it hadn't moved really. Because the last game they scored, it was two. They scored exactly.
It was 211.
Yeah. And then I picked two different baseball games. One's that we need the Phillies for the Phillies to continue to stay in first place. I picked the tomorrow Pittsburgh is playing Atlanta. I got Pittsburgh, but you got to take the over because they've been knocking the fucking cover off the ball. Both of those teams in the previous couple of games.
And the pitching's
kind of been stinking up the joint. I also picked St. Louis over the Mets. I hate the fucking Mets. I've always hated.
Seems
the fucking
to be
Mets.
A common theme.
Yeah. But I want them to lose. But I was going to go with the under. They haven't put the line out yet. But I feel like St. Louis pitching, and I feel like St. Louis pitching is kind of going to shut the Mets down. So I got that's the Mets. All three games are tomorrow. So I got Golden State.
So you got four picks this week.
Well,
yeah. Golden State minus the points, the over,
yeah.
And two baseball games. I like it. Put it out there, baby. Yeah. Put it out there.
Yeah, that too. Then Mets and that. I want St. Louis and Pittsburgh to win, though.
I got
so
you.
So it basically helps the Phillies stay where we need to be to get where we want to go.
Stay where we need to be.
Yeah.
I hear you.
And I hate those teams anyway.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, let's end this program with our Get It Off Your Chest segment, as you all know.
You already got yours off your chest.
I got mine off my chest. Pops, you got anything?
No, I'm good this week.
Yeah. Rex?
Well, I had three things, but I'll keep it to two.
Oh, God.
Hold on, I have something to get off my chest.
Your mic's off, Rex?
He really just asked you that for preliminary reasons.
I don't want Rex bringing up Minnesota Vikings quarterbacks ever again.
One thing I'd like to bring up is that the only player right now from the Phillies that's being considered for the All-Star game, I believe, is Real Muto, right?
Right.
So I think we all need to get out there and vote. And get the Phillies need better representation. They want to know if the fans are behind.
Hold the phone.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing about Major League Baseball's All-Star Game is the fact that it's a popularity contest.
Yeah.
All right, Real Muto is the only one right now that deserves to go there. Maybe Hoskins, but at that position, first base is stacked with people have home runs and RBIs.
Yeah.
All right, Hernandez, we should have traded.
Mm-hmm.
When he was playing well,
yeah.
And now he's dumping off the fucking planet again. Mm-hmm. We all know this. Kingery, nobody knows who he is.
Well, you can't put him because he's been injured most of the season.
Been injured?
He's on a hot streak
right
course.
Now. And Bruce hasn't been here long enough.
But he may go to another league because before he got here, he had 14 home runs.
Yeah.
So he came here and continued his dominance.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
The other thing is that as a Philadelphia fan, we're constantly pointed out as being the worst fans. And I hate the fact that Toronto cheered when Kevin Durant got hurt,
and
some of them are waving goodbye to him.
Yep.
He's probably one of the biggest class acts in sports, at least the
NBA. He's got one of the worst goatees in sports. Let's make that clear.
Yeah,
one of the worst goatees in sports.
It is peasy.
And I think we're gonna keep hearing about snowballs and fucking Santa Claus.
Right.
And something like this, a guy gets hurt.
I didn't know the snowball thing happened like way back when.
In the 60s.
In the 60s. I'm thinking it happened.
We're still hearing about it.
We're still hearing about this shit. I'll let you know.
This pisses me off, man. Anyway, sorry.
Go ahead. Because I know it pisses you off as a fan.
Take it easy, okay?
Bye. Take it easy. That was Snowball.
Why do you call him that?
Sylvan made it up. It's a blowjob thing.
What do you mean?
After he gets a blowjob, he likes to have it spit back into his mouth while kissing. It's called snowballing.
Clicks.
He requests this?
He gets off on it.
Sylvan can be talked into anything.
Why do you say that?
Well, like you said, she snowballed him.
Sylvan? No, I snowballed him.
Yeah, right.
I'm serious.
You sucked that guy's dick?
Yeah, how do you think I knew that he...
Wait, but you said you only had sex with three different guys. You never mentioned him.
Because I never had sex with him.
You sucked his dick.
We went out a few times. We never had sex, but we fooled around.
Oh, my God. Why did you tell me you only had sex with three different guys?
Because I did only have sex with three different guys. That doesn't mean I didn't just go with people.
Oh, my God. I feel so nauseous.
Sorry, Dante. I thought you understood.
I did understand. I understood that you had sex with three different guys, and that's all you said.
Please calm down.
How many?
Dante.
How many dicks have you sucked? How many?
Fine, shut up a second, and I'll tell you. Jesus. I didn't freak out like this when you told me how many girls you fucked.
This is different. This is important. How many?
Making change for a customer right now.
Well?
Something like 36?
What? Dang. Something like 36?
Who are you boys?
Wait, what is that anyway? Something like 36? Does that include me?
37.
37? 37. My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks.
In a row?
Here we go.
Hey, listen, jerk. Until today, you never even knew how many guys I slept with because you never even bothered to ask. Then you act all nonchalant about fucking 12 different girls. Well, I never had sex with 12 different guys.
No, but you sucked enough dick.
Yeah, I went down on a few guys.
A few?
And one of those guys was you, the last one, I might add, which if you're too stupid to comprehend means that I've been faithful to you since we met. All the other guys I went with before I met you. So if you want to have a complex about it, go ahead. But don't look at me like I'm the town whore because you were plenty busy yourself before you met me.
Well, why did you have to suck their dick? I mean, why couldn't you sleep with them like any other decent person?
Because going down isn't a big deal. I used to like a guy we'd make out, and sooner or later I'd go down on him. But I only had sex with the guys I loved.
I feel sick.
I love you. Don't feel sick.
Every time I kiss you, I'm going to taste 36 other guys.
I'm going to later, you'll be a bit more rational.
I'm 37. I just
can't. Goodbye, Dante.
I'm in for the gangbang.
No, the best part about that, I thought that clip was coming. Hey, try not to suck any dick on the. Try not to suck any dick on the way through the parking lot. And the dude standing right there, and he starts following her. Hey, you, come back here. Hollis, you got anything you want to get off your chest, or are you still done? Are you still snowballed?
I think Philadelphia is a great sports town, and we get like a bad rap of like, you know, whatever. Being bad, sour fans or something.
I hear you.
I'm just here for the gangbang.
Hello.
I'm here for the gangbang.
Alex, you got anything you want to get off your chest?
No, I'm good. I think I got it off with in the segment about coddling youngsters.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, everybody, I hope you guys found the show as entertaining as we did. We had a good time bringing it to you. We are saying goodbye for another edition of Green Legion Radio. We will see you next week.